Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode, I am excited again tonight because we are continuing our study from the book of Ezekiel. And we know that this study will expound upon the teachings of the prophet Ezekiel, who is considered by many theologians as the gloom and doom prophet. He scolded both Judah and Israel constantly because of their disobedience against the laws of God. Many of his prophecies have already been fulfilled. The ones that haven't are yet still looming against Israel, even to this very day, more especially those pertaining to the end of time. And also the book of Revelations by John the Revelator, as he is so called, or the apostle St. John the Divine, says so. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, Bible apps, or even regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, I will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host has set up a chat room that you can go in and we can have dialogue during this program, one with another. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take the time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. Now, the comments and the advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. So thank you so very much. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Now, God said through King David, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. This is taken from Psalms 145, verse 19. So the promise is that God will save you. He will save me. But we have to fear him. That's the key. God said again, if ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, I will walk among you and I will be your God and ye shall be my people. God says this in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 3 and verse 12. Now, the promise is that God will be with us. We know in other scripture, he says he will never forsake us or leave us or fail us. The key, again, is to keep his statutes and his commandments. And God said, again, through King Solomon, who is a wise man and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. So again, the promise is that the wisdom of God will make you glow. It will illuminate you more especially from the inside out. And that is key. We must receive that from God himself. So the question again for this hour is, my precious brothers and sisters, are you standing on the promises of God? Now, before we get started, as I always do, a reminder, this is a good rehearsal that all of the Bible is written in code, meaning in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning, and that is what we're all about in this class. We are studying and learning together. Okay, now let's go to the study. Turn your Bible sources with me to Ezekiel chapter 18. We're going to be looking at verse 1 through 9. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 1 through 9. And as I read the verses to you, my precious brothers and sisters, this is what I want you to do. Focus on this instruction. This is what I'm trying to bring across and to share with you out of the text. The proverb of the sour grapes. Now, we know there are many proverbs that are written in the Bible, more especially in the book of Proverbs. But throughout Genesis through Revelations, there are those instructions that, or those texts that could be considered proverbs. This particular one is what Ezekiel gave to Israel from God, the proverb of the sour grapes. And this is what Ezekiel said. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, what mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying to the fathers, have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are on edge? As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. It was suggesting that because of the father, the children are doomed. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the father, so also is the soul of the son mine. And the soul that's in it, it shall die. But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, and have not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath come near to a menstruous woman, and hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment, he hath not given forth unto usury, neither hath he taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath not executed true, has executed true judgment between man and woman, hath walked in my statutes and hath kept my judgments, do deal truly, he is just, he shall surely live, saith the Lord God. So that is the text that's telling us that the sour grapes, God was forbidding them to use as a proverb because it only pertained to, it did not pertain to each individual soul. And that is what the proverb was saying. Now, we've reached our first break, or we're getting close to the first break. So what I want to do, I want to turn your attention to Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 and 6. And we're going to get an amplification of the law where this was drawn from. But before we go there, let's take our first break. Right, boom, zee, zee, the valley up, right, boom.
Now here's the word of the Lord.
And let me tell you about.
A lot of people talk a good game, don't they? They say they're going to do this and that. But when push comes to shove, they disappear. When it's game time, they're nowhere to be seen. They say they're going to be the greatest ever, but their work ethic shows average effort. They say they're going to be rich or famous, but their habits are poor and ordinary. Talking is not enough. You must do. Talking is not enough. You must put in the work. You must develop the habit of following through with your word. When you say you're going to do something, you do it. It's called integrity. When you honor your word, you build pride for yourself and respect from others. When you don't, when you talk the talk and never walk, you lose pride and you lose respect. Repeat to yourself every day, if I say I'm going to do something, I do it. If I give my word, I do it. If I talk it, I will walk it. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it. If I give my word, I do it. If I talk it, I will walk it. When it gets hard, I gave my word. If something comes up, I gave my word. I will get it done. I don't even have to think twice. I get it done. I will get it done. Talkers talk. Walkers walk. Don't tell them what you're going to do. Show them what you've done. Let your results speak for you. Results say more than words ever will. Keep your word. Do the work. Get the results. Game time. This is my word. I've said it. Now I will do it.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're looking at this particular instruction that identifies the proverb of the sour grapes. And we read already the text. Now I just wanted to put emphasis on this by showing you where this was drawn from, so I say. If we're going to turn with me, if you will, your Bible sources to Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to look at verse 5 and 6. And this is what God commanded at the time to Israel, and it still stands today. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. That's where Israel gets that inheritance from the sour grapes, was taken from that. And this is where Jesus or God gives us those, gives us what he told through Ezekiel. Each soul is the one that's going to be held responsible for what they do. Verse 6 says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So that's why the proverb of the sour grapes should not be said, because each of us individually are responsible to God. And if we do right, God will not hold us accountable for the wrongs of our father. And that's why this is so significant to know. Now, let's go to the book of Revelations. I'm going to show you, comparing and agreeing, how the New Testament even clarifies it more. This is what the New Testament says in Revelations, chapter 2, verse 20 through 25. And this is the Spirit speaking to the church at Thyatira. And this is what it says about that. It says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. There it is, my precious brothers and sisters. There is going to be death by association, but repentance is what the key to separate the goats from the sheep, so to speak. And that is what I want you to understand now. This is the spiritual intent. This is what it should mean to us spiritually, that through repentance we get remission of inherited sin. Even though Adam and Eve sinned and we inherited the sin of death, physically and spiritually, we have, through repentance, remission of that death from the spirit. And we know that God is a spirit, and that's the way that it will end up in our existence forever. The flesh will only exist for a certain amount of time, and the spirit will exist forever. So the repentance comes for the remission of that spiritual death. And that's what I want you to understand from this particular instruction. Now let's go to the next instruction. And we're going to go back to chapter 18. We're going to read some more verses out of chapter 18. It's especially or specifically verse 10 through 17, and then we're going to read verse 19 and 20. And my precious brothers and sisters, what I want you to keep in mind as I read these verses to you, this is the instruction. This is what I want you to concentrate or focus on. Inheriting your father's sin. We're still talking somewhat about that proverb of the sour grapes, and this is going to give more information about the inheriting of those sins. And this is how it works. Ezekiel chapter 10 through 17 says this. If he begat a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and he does the like to any one of these things, and he does not any of those duties, but even hath eaten upon the mountain and defiled his neighbor's wife, hath oppressed the poor and needy, hath spoiled by violence, hath not restored the pledge, hath lifted up his eyes to the idols, hath committed abomination, hath given forth upon usury, hath taken incense, shall he then live? He shall not live. He hath done all of these abominable things. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. Now, lo, if he begets a son that seeth all of his father's sins, which he hath done, and considereth and does not do such like, that hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, hath not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath oppressed any, hath not withholden the pledge, neither hath spoiled by violence, but hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment, that hath taken off his hand from the poor, that hath not received usury nor increase, hath executed my judgments, hath walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. As for his father, and that is the key, that so we are individually held accountable. And again, that is not what the proverb that we just read and looked at of the sour grapes is saying. Now, verse 19 continues the thought saying, yet say ye, why doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father? When the son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live. And verse 20 completes the thought by saying, the soul that's in it, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. So clearly it is being said by the prophet that those sin shall bear the iniquity. Those who sin not shall not. And in Genesis chapter 3, I want to take us there to amplify this. This is what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, the why of it. This is what happened in the garden when the curse was implemented. This is what God said to the serpent. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thou shalt eat dirt all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So the proverb of the sour grapes was taken from that incident, caused man to lose his life. But Jesus came to give us reprieve. And what the prophet Ezekiel was telling us was the advent of that reprieve, meaning that we are going to be held accountable, each one of us, not for the deeds of our fathers, but for our own deeds. And that is key. Now, turn with me to the New Testament complement, and we're going to see how Paul explained it to the Romans in Romans chapter 2. And before we read that, let us go to the next break.
Got a right to resist God, to reject God. But the Bible says, in spite of our rebellion and rejection, God loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his Son to die for your sins. And when Christ died on that cross, we don't understand all that happened on that cross. But we know one thing, that he took the hell and the judgment that you deserved and I deserved because of our sins. He took it on that cross. And that's why that terrible expression comes from his lips. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because you see, the very meaning of hell is separation from God. And in that terrible moment, a shadow passed between God the Father and God the Son for the first time since eternity began. Christ dying for you. And he suffered the pangs of hell.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's continue with the instruction, inheriting your father's sins. And we know that because of repentance and through the death of Jesus Christ, we are held accountable, each one, for our own sins, and not for our father's sins. Even though we have the inheritance, we still have reprieve. And this is what Paul told the Romans about this in Romans chapter 2. Turn your Bible sources with me to Romans chapter 2, verse 6 through 12. And this is how Paul told the Romans about it. Who will render to every man according to his deeds? To them who by patient continuance in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey ungodliness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that does evil, of the Jews first and also of the Gentiles. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. So, my brothers and sisters, that's telling us that even though there's an inheritance there because of Jesus Christ, We are held accountable, each individual one, for his deeds. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God will reward and punish every one of us according to our works done in the body. So we are without excuse. We cannot blame it on our Father, even though we know we have inherited from our Father certain traits, physically and spiritually. Jesus has come to give us repentance and forgiveness, and we are held accountable for our own sins. So that was what the prophet Ezekiel was telling Israel at that time, that they, even though the Messiah had not yet come, this was the case, that they should do good by the law of God, and they would receive repentance or forgiveness of sins. Now let's go to the next instruction, back to Ezekiel, and we're going to look at Ezekiel chapter 18 again, and we're going to get a third instruction from Ezekiel chapter 18. This time we're going to be looking at verse 21 through verse 32, and this is so significant, and I want you to keep in mind, because we're talking about sin exclusively in this, in the last two instructions, and this is just going to show us even more about how repentance cures that. This is what the instruction is that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Repentance curses sin. My brothers and sisters listening out there, the sin is a curse. And we read that in Genesis out of the last instruction. But repentance is what curses sin. It reprieves us from sin. And this is what Ezekiel told Israel in chapter 18, verse 21 through 32. This is what he said. He said, "But if the wicked will return from all of his sins that he has committed and keep all my statutes and do not which is lawful and to do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. And his transgressions that he has committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he has done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and shall not that he return from his wicked ways and live? But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doth according to all the wicked abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them he shall die. Yet say ye, the way of the Lord is not equal? Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he'll die in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. Again, when the wicked man turns away from his wickedness that he has committed and does that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul and live. Because he has considered and turned away from his transgression he has committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet, saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make a new heart and a new spirit. For why would ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Therefore turn yourselves and live ye." And that is telling us that repentance is the curse against sin. So for we that are sinning, repentance is our panacea. And to add impetus to that meaning, I just want to show you how the law was established in the law. We're going to go to Leviticus. Turn to Leviticus with me, chapter 4 in Leviticus. Turn to Leviticus chapter 4, and we're going to see what Leviticus tells us about this in verse 20 and several other verses. Now, this is adding impetus to why repentance curses sin. This is what the law states. And he shall do with the bullock as he did with the bullock for a sin offering. So shall he do with this, and the priest shall make an atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. Verse 26 again says, and he shall burn all of his fat upon the altar as the fat of the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall make an atonement for him as concerning his sin, and it shall be forgiven him. Verse 31 again says, and he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat is taken away from off the sacrifice of the peace offering, and the priest shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savor unto the Lord, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. And the final point is 35, the verse, and this is what it says, and he shall take away all the fat thereof, as of the fat of the lamb is taken away from the sacrifice of the peace offerings, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar according to the offering made by fire upon unto the Lord, and the priest shall make an atonement for his sin that he hath committed, and it shall be forgiven him. Repentance is the key, my brother. That curses sin. And temporarily, those offerings or sacrifices for the sin and for peace was made through the Levitical priesthood for Israel until the Messiah comes. And now what we're going to do is go to Acts chapter 2. And what I want to do in Acts chapter 2 is give you the comparison and the agreement that was made because of Jesus Christ. And this is in Acts chapter 2. Turn with me your sources to Acts chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 37 and verse 38. And this is what Peter told the crowd after their hearts were pricked, because Peter told them that they had killed Jesus, and Jesus was for the repentance of sin. And this is what occurred. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gifts of the Holy Ghost. So, my brothers and sisters, that repentance, it curses sin. And this is what I want you to get from this reading. This is the spiritual intent, that repentance is the cure for sin. It's simple as that. And now I see we're upon we haven't reached it yet. Let's go to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources back with me to instruction number 38. And we're going to be looking at Ezekiel chapter 19 this time. We're going to move on to the next chapter in Ezekiel and see what the prophet has to say. We're going to be reading Ezekiel chapter 19, verse 1 through 14. And as I read the chapter to you or read these verses, I want you to keep in mind this important part, point. This is the instruction, the lamentation for the Lion of Judah. This is the instruction, the lamentation for the Lion of Judah. Now I see that we're on approaching the next break. Let's take the break and then we'll continue with the sermon.
What are you going to do with the time you have left? What are you going to do with the time you have left? I say that if you don't reposition yourself, you could miss the best time in your life. If you don't know what time it is, time will get away from you, and you won't know where it went. The worst thing in life is not money getting away from you. It's not people getting away from you. It's time. Where did it go? I am my parents' age. My mother was sitting up talking with her sisters several years ago, and they were sitting up and they were drinking some coffee. And they said, girl, where are all the old people? Said, where's Miss Susie and Miss Helen and Miss Reggie May and all the old people? And I was sitting over there thinking, y'all are the old people now. And before I could get through thinking it, they were gone. And my hair was white. And my afro was gone. What are you going to do with the time you have left?
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's continue. We're at Ezekiel chapter 19. We're going to look at verse 1 through 14. And what I want you to do as I read the text to you, keep in mind this instruction. This is what I want you to take from hearing the text being read. The lamentation for the lion of Judah. And we know the lion of Judah has eventuated into being Jesus the Christ. This is what the prophet told Israel. Moreover, take thou up a lamentation for the princes of Israel. That's God telling Ezekiel to mourn for them and say, what is thy mother? A lioness. She lay down among lions. She nourished her whelps among young lions. And she brought up one of her whelps. It became a young lion, and it learned to catch the prey. It devoured them. The nations also heard of him, and he was taken in their pit. And they brought him with chains unto the land of Egypt. Now when she saw that she had waited and her hope was lost, then she took another of her whelps and made him a young lion. And he went up and down among the lions. He became a young lion and learned to catch the prey and devour men. And he knew their desolate places, and he laid waste their cities. And the land was desolate, and the fullness thereof by the noise of his roaring. Then the nations set against him on every side from Providence, and spread their nets over him. And he was taken in their pit. And they put him in ward, in chains, and brought him to King of Babylon. They brought him into holes, that his voice should no more be heard among the mountains of Israel. Thy mother is like a vine in thy blood, planted by the waters. She was fruitful and full of branches by reason of many waters. And she had strong rods for scepters of them that bear rule. And her stature was exalted among the thick branches. And she appeared in her height with the multitude of her branches. Up in the fury, she was cast down to the ground. And the east wind dried up her fruit. Her strong rods were broken and withered. The fire consumed them. And now she is planted in the wilderness and in the dry and thirsty ground. And the fire has gone out of the rod of her branches, which hath devoured her fruit, so that she hath strong rod to be a scepter to rule. This is a lamentation and shall be for a lamentation. So what Ezekiel is telling Israel is that God has nurtured them from the beginning, and now they've turned against God, so they're in captivity. And so there will be another that will be raised, but it won't be until after the captivity. Now, I know that I'm reading a lot into what this proverb, if you will, or prophecy says, but that is the intent of what the lamentation was to be about. Now, I'm going to take us to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37, and I'm going to share with you the incident that this drew from. This is what I'm saying. This is what exemplifies, I say, what Ezekiel prophesied to Israel. This is Genesis chapter 37, and it's called, of course, it's talking about Jacob. And this is what it says. or Joseph his son. And Jacob dwelled in the land wherein his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. Verse 3 says, now Israel, which was Jacob, loved Joseph more than all of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Now this is the lion, the first one. Jacob was in difficulty, and he had a son named Joseph that was the second lion. And verse 4 continues, and this is what it says. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all of his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably about him. So Joseph, being that next lion that was brought up to render satisfaction to God, those who were around him did not like that. And this is what the story continues to say in verse 20. Come now, therefore, they said, let us slay him and cast him out some pit, and we will say some evil beast had devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And verse 24 concludes the thought by saying, and they took him and they cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. So this is where we're in the captivity of Babylon. But you can see what happened to Joseph. It was similar. And that's the reason that I wanted to share that with you, because I think that because it happened early on and it was written in the law, that this is just a repeat of that, which the prophet Ezekiel was telling Israel about. Now what we want to do is go to the New Testament complement. Turn with me, if you will, to the New Testament complement. We're going to go to Mark chapter 12. And this is what Jesus said about it today. Mark chapter 12, and it's verse 1 through 11. And listen to this prophecy that our parable that Jesus gave. And this is the exact thing that occurred then, which today is occurring because we are renouncing Jesus Christ. This is what it says. And he began to speak a parable unto them. A certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it and digged a place for the wine fat, and built a tower, and let it out to the husbandmen, and went into a far country. And the season he sent the husbandmen a servant, that he might receive from the husbandmen of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him, and beat him, and sent him away empty. And again he sent unto them another servant, and at this time they cast stones at him, and wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating them and killing them. Having yet, therefore, one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. And those husbandmen said unto themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. Now, what shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? Come and destroy the husbandmen, and will give the vineyard unto others. And they yet, and have ye not read this scripture? The stone, which the builders rejected, is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Today, my brothers and sisters, we're under this lamentation because Jesus Christ has been rejected. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That Jesus on the cross lamented to God for us, saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Jesus died on the cross. He lamented for us. He, as the prophet Ezekiel lamented for Israel, Jesus lamented for us. And that is the significance of what this instruction brings. And that's what I want you to get from this instruction. Okay, now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go this time we're going to look at Ezekiel chapter 20. We're going to look at 8 verses in Ezekiel chapter 20. And as I read the verses to you, what I want you to do in mind this particular instruction, because this is what's so significant to you and I, my brothers and sisters, today. Israel does not walk the talk. That is what is critical to us today, that causes us to weaken and to some of us lose our salvation, because we say we will do, but we do not do. And that's what I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you and as we see are approaching the final break for this class. We'll take the break now, and then we'll complete the instructions.
I want to share with you a powerful story about a snake and a saw. Before you question what a snake and a saw has to do with your life, it is about much more than a snake and a saw. It's about what happens to us when we react in anger. It's about what happens to us when we hold on to resentment and when we don't let go of negative emotions. It's about what can happen to us when we want negative things to happen to others. So the story is this. One night after closing time, a snake found its way inside a home improvement store. As the snake slithered around, it clipped itself on a handsaw. It was lying on the ground. Thinking the saw was a threat, the snake instantly snapped around and bit the saw. Of course, this caused much more damage, with the snake cutting inside its mouth. Not understanding what was happening and thinking the saw was an enemy, the snake wrapped its long body around the saw, attempting to suffocate. Of course, the snake didn't do any damage to the saw. Instead, ended up being killed by the sharp blade of the saw. The snake ended up being killed by its own anger, by its own reaction to something it thought was out to get it. There's a powerful message here. Often we react in anger when we think others have hurt us, or when we assume that others are out to get us. We react when we don't need to. We hold on to resentment, and sometimes we hope the other gets hurt. But in doing so, we only end up hurting ourselves. The negative energy we carry around when we hold on to these resentments and negative feelings only makes us suffer. Never the person we might want to suffer. When we react in anger rather than with compassion, no one wins. When we snap back, we can't win. It is always better to ignore negativity. It's always better to let go of negative feelings toward others and rather focus on creating the best life we can for ourselves. If someone does us wrong, rather than react angrily, maybe we should try to understand where that person is coming from. Show some compassion. Maybe they are having a bad day. Maybe all of their days are bad. When we look at things from a new perspective, it is much easier to move. Leaving all negative energy behind, holding on does nothing good for our future. We must let go. We must move on before the anger consumes us and ruins us like a snake. Don't react. Instead, show compassion. Don't hold on. Instead, move on. And rather focus on creating the best life we can for ourselves.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us continue with the instruction. Israel does not walk the talk. And this is what Ezekiel told Israel about that in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 1 through 8. Ezekiel says, "And it came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me. Then came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Are ye come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. Wilt thou judge them, son of man? Wilt thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, In the day when I chose Israel, and lifted up my hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up my hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God, in that day that I lifted up my hand unto them to bring them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I had espised for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. Then said I unto them, cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me, and would not hearken unto me. They did every man cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. Israel said that they would follow God's commandments, but they did not. They forsook God, and that's what Ezekiel was telling Israel that they had done again. Now, to show that this, again, was something that was a repeat offense, we're going to go to Psalms 78. And in Psalm 78, which is the Psalm of Asaph, it tells the story of that. In Psalm 78, verse 10 through 32, this is through 22, this is what the psalmist says. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgat his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused it to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime, also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire, clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rocks and caused water to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lusts. Yet they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can't he give us bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard this, and he was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Now remember, Israel had said previous to that that they would do God's will, but apparently they forsook doing that. And that's what I wanted to bring out in this amplification of Israel does not walk the talk. Now what we're going to do is go to Mark chapter 7 for your comparison and agreement to see how this connects. Mark chapter 7, and it's verse 6 through 9, and this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, and he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah the prophet of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honor me not with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, yet hold they the traditions of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things as they do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own traditions. And that is what is happening to us today, my brothers and sisters, that we are following traditions of men and not the commandments of God. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we all want salvation. We will only follow the flesh. That is like saying every man wants to go to heaven, but no man wants to die. And this is significant that we must walk the talk, and that is what I'm trying to share with you in this particular instruction. Okay, let's go to the last instruction for the night. We're going to go back to Ezekiel chapter 20 and take another instruction from Ezekiel chapter 20. We're going to look at verse 8 through verse 14.
Ridiculous.
And we're going to keep in mind this instruction as we read
my
the text.
Picture better.
The instruction is second chances. Second chances is the instruction. I want you to keep this in mind as I read the text to you. This is what the text says. It says, but they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did as every man cast away the abominations in their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I wrought, for my namesake, I should not pollute them against the heathens. And so, wherefore I caused them to go out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness, and I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord God that sanctifies them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness, and they walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness and consume them. But I wrought for my name's sake that I should not pollute them before the heathen, in whose sight I brought them out. And so that is the second chance that Ezekiel is telling Israel in Babylon that they have. As long as they respond effectively to God, they will not be forsaken. And to amplify this, we're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12 through 14. And this is what God told Israel concerning second chances, or told Solomon to tell Israel about second chances. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard my prayer and have chosen this place to be for myself a house of sacrifice. I will shut up heaven that there shall be no more rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, listen, for my people, which are called by my name, if they shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will turn and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven them and forgive their sins and heal their land.
I don't think it'll be
so that's
better.
Telling us second chances do prevail. Now, in Revelation chapter 3, we're going to see how this concludes the thought. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 19 through 20, this is what God tells us. He told the Spirit to tell the Laodicean church, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome and have sat down with my Father in his throne.
Yes,
he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Second chances, my brothers and sisters, and this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that as long as you are breathing in and out, you can repent and you will have multiple chances with God. That is key in what I want you to understand and know from this instruction. Now, what I want to say before we close is that this lesson is complete. And as we sign off, the host and I want to thank you and bless you for your participation and encouragement. Good night.
Thank you for choosing Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. I hope you were blessed by our program tonight. Please listen every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Good night.